Okay, good morning, everyone. Hope you're enjoying the frozen tundra Boca Raton. It's definitely better than Muncie, that's true, in many ways. Okay. Today's class is sponsored by Lin Han for Refua Shleima, for our great-grandson, baby boy Han Boyarsky, who needs a Refua Shleima. So it should be for Zuchus for him and for all Holy Israel. We should only hear Besuros Tovos. Okay, today's chapter is actually exciting. And it's exciting because I think it gets lost amongst the other chapters that surrounds it. And so you don't oftentimes pay a lot of attention to it. And that's Kuf Aleph, chapter 101 of Tehillim. To be quite honest with you, I picked it a little bit out of a hat. And I'm quite happy that I did do that because I think there's an enormous amount of wisdom in it. I think it's a very relevant chapter of Tehillim for many of us. It's not as morose as some of the ones that we've been seeing recently, but I think it has some very important points that hopefully we will tease out as we study it. Who's talking? What's this Tehillim about? So it's very clear that this chapter of Tehillim is about David HaMelech himself. As Rav Hirsch points out in his introduction, David speaks only of himself here and gives us some insight into the character of his immediate environment. So we're going to learn here about David, what he struggled with, and more importantly, the types of people that were surrounding him. Now, David HaMelech is obviously unique from many of us in that, to the best of my knowledge, none of us are kings, and none of us are playing the role as kings. Although I try to convince my kids I'm the king of the household. But the most I got out of that was an apron once that said, "Phil, king of the grill." So at least I'm the king of the grill, but I got nothing else. But none of us are kings, and none of us are in the position that David HaMelech was. And yet, as we talk about each and every week, David HaMelech wrote Tehillim not so that it could be a one-time in history experience, but that it should be relatable and relevant to all of us. And I think, as we read through it, you will see that even if we are not kings or queens, everything David HaMelech is talking about is relevant to us, and I would argue even more so in our day and age. And obviously, we'll discuss that as we go along. So let's jump right in. Tehillim Kuf Aleph 101 of Tehillim. Le David Mizmor. To David a Mizmor. We've spoken about in the past, Mizmor Le David versus Le David Mizmor. What's the difference between those two? Chesed u'mishpat Ashira. I will sing of Chesed and I will sing of Mishpat. What is this mishpat in chesed that David is singing about? And then he finishes, Lecha Adonai Azameira, to you Hashem, I will sing. So what is this chesed and what is this mishpat? If you look at the Malbim understands this as the Hanhagat Hashem who had sli o chesed o mishpat. Malbim says, David HaMelech is reflecting upon Hashem's interaction with him. And he says, God, your interaction with me is either through chesed. Chesed means what? Kindness or mishpat, which means justice. Okay? He says, Velo nimsa ba davara. There's no bad here, says David HaMelech. Ki atov sheyitein hu mitzad chazdo, lo mitzad achiyim. When Hashem does good for us, it's not because Hashem has to do it. It's not like anyone puts a gun to Hashem's head and says, you have to do chesed, you have to do kindness for mankind. Because Hashem just does it, because he is a Baal Chesed. Hashem is the epitome of righteousness. As the Ramchal writes in his introduction to Derech Hashem, the fact that Hashem created this world, he didn't need to create this world. He didn't need to create me and you. He didn't need to create the beauty and the taste and the smells. Hashem does it because he loves to give. So says the Malbim, Ki atov she'itonu michazdo. Hashem didn't have to do it. He's doing it because he wanted to do it. Vehara, in that which we perceive as evil in this world, Humitzadash mishpat. It's clear justice. Bavoroa hamasim lechaper avon la'asam machatas. It's because we deserve it. In other words, nothing that Hashem does is bad. Either it's because he's doing chesed with us, or because you and I, in order to put us back on the straight path, so we require sometimes a little bit of a punishment, no different than children, where sometimes you have to punish them, even though it's painful, but you know that you're doing the right thing. Rashi writes this more explicitly. And Rashi says, "Kishata osei mi chesed, when you do kindness with me, I will praise you with baruch atov ve'ameitiv. I will give gratitude to you for that. U'kesh'ata oseh bi'mishpat, and when sometimes, Hashem, you have to exact justice and judgment against me, ani ashir, I will even praise you under those circumstances. As it says, Baruch Dayan Ha'emet. As we say at a funeral, right? Hashem, you are the God of justice, the God of judgment. Finishes Rashi, Bein kach u'bein kach, whether you're doing good for me or whether I don't like the way you're interacting with me, Lecha Adonai Azamera. Hashem, I am going to sing to you. So both Malbim and Rashi understand it along the same lines. They're a little bit of a different, but I think they're exactly the same thing, which is that David HaMelech is reflecting upon Hashem's interaction with the world around him. LeDavid Mizmor Chesed u'Mishpat Ashiral. Right, I'm going to sing to you, whether it's Chesed or whether it's Mishpat. Regardless of how you interact with me, Hashem, I'm going to praise you. Whether I say HaTov VeHameitiv, whether I thank you and praise you for all the good that you do, or whether it's Dayan Ahmed, or whether I don't like the Mishpat, or I don't like the judgment that you give to me, nonetheless, I never lose faith in you. I never allow it to waver. The Radak understands this a little bit differently. The Radak says, David HaMelech is not reflecting upon Hashem's interaction with the world, but rather David HaMelech's interaction with the people. Now, the reason why Radak understands it this way is very simple. It's more pshat in the pasuk, right? The whole flow of the chapter of Tehillim is David HaMelech almost giving an autobiographical reflection upon himself as a leader. And so Radak was struggling with that. Why would David HaMelech speak about God if the whole thing is really about himself? So the Radak says, what's chesed u'mishpat? She'ani oseh li'Yisrael. David HaMelech, don't forget, he was a king, he was a ruler, he would adjudicate cases. So David HaMelech is saying, I'm reflecting upon my role vis-a-vis the Jewish people. Ashira ve'azamra lecha ve'odeshemecha shimlach di'aleim. Hashem, I'm praising you, shimlachtani, that you made me the king over the people. You put me in the position of influence that I am in. V'nasata li lev tov limloch aleim b'mishpat uvitzdaka. In other words, David HaMelech is saying, what makes me worthy to be the leader that I am? What skill set did I have that allowed me to be put in the position that I am in? And the answer is nothing, right? The only reason David HaMelech is king, the only reason David HaMelech is in a position of power and influence is because Hashem put him there. And so David HaMelech thanks Hashem for the position of power to be in a position of chesed u'mishpat. I found that enormously relatable because oftentimes you reflect upon the circumstances that you find yourself in life, and you wonder to yourself, what made me worthy of the position that I'm in, whether it's as a parent, a grandparent, a sibling, right? What makes me worthy of the positions of influence that Hashem puts me in the world? And the answer is oftentimes not, right? There's nothing that I do that makes me worthy of it. It's that Hashem puts me in a position because He wants me to fulfill a role, that we are all shlichim of Hashem, right? We are the messengers of Hashem, and He puts us in circumstances because He wants us to exact that influence, whether it's at the gym, whether it's at Publix, whether it's at shul, or whether it's in your family life. Every one of us is in that position. Every one of us plays that role of David HaMelech at various points in our life. And what I find so interesting is David HaMelech doesn't take it for granted. He sings praise. He thanks Hashem. Thank you, Hashem, for putting me in a position where I can influence other people, where I can have an impact on other people. And the whole message is that you don't have to be David HaMelech to do that. Every single one of us plays that role of David HaMelech in a micro and in a macro sense. So whether you understand it as David HaMelech reflecting upon Hashem's hashkacha, Hashem's providence over the world, or whether it's David HaMelech reflecting upon his own providence in the world, that over the people, that is how the different mafarshim understand that first pasuk. So LeDavid Mizmor Chesed u'Mishpat Ashira Lecha Ashira, I will sing Chesed u'Mishpat Lecha Adonai Azamera. I will sing out in song to you. Pasuk Bet Askila Baderech Tamim Matai Tavo Elai Eshalech B'Tam Levavi B'Kerev Besi. What word do you immediately notice appears twice in this pasuk? Tamim, right? Askila, Askila means that I'm going to pay attention. Biderech tamim, to the ways of the tamim. How do you translate tamim? The most simple, like almost a simplicity, a purity, a wholesomeness, right? Those are all the words that I would use. So he says, I'm going to pay attention to the ways of the tamim. Masai tavo elai. When is it going to come to me? Like, when will I be able to attain that? Eshaleich b'tam levavi b'kera b'si. And I'm going to walk in the way of these tamim, where? Bekerev b'si. In my house. So what is this pasuk talking about? So the Metzudas David, I think, gives the clearest interpretation, where he says, Etein leiv al derech tamim. I'm going to pay attention to the tamim, to those righteous, pure, wholesome, simple individuals. Umit aveh. And I'm going to be desirous, anila lemor matai tavo elai ve'kaimenu. When can I be like those people? Ki kol chavtzi, because my entire desire, she's damein mitzvah liyadi. I just want to do your ratzon Hashem. David HaMelech is offering an aspirational comment right now, where he's saying, I see that there are righteous people in the world, and I want to be like them. I want that next mitzvah. I want that next opportunity to learn Torah. I want that next opportunity to do chesed because I want to be just like them. I was listening to a whole podcast this week about envy, the science of envy, which they're doing an enormous amount of research and studying about. And the whole point of the research is that envy, as we know, because Chazal told us long before researchers at Harvard and Princeton and Stanford told us that, but that envy cuts both ways. Right, envy can crush a person. Kina ve'taiva ve'akavon mutzia es ha'adam min ha'olam. That kina, jealousy, could literally destroy someone. We know this in the age of social media, where again I just saw a study this week. I don't know why they need studies to prove what we already know, but that kids that look at social media for a certain percentage of hours a week are like 80% more likely to be depressed, miserable, and have mental health issues. Right, like duh, you spend your whole life comparing the worst of yourself to the best of other people, you're going to be miserable all day, right? And by definition, I think the kunz of that study was that it creates a culture of comparison, right? We live in a culture where we're constantly comparing ourselves to other people. But as Teddy Roosevelt famously is quoted as saying, comparison, my favorite quote, because I really believe it, comparison is the thief of joy, right? It robs you of it. So we know that kina is the worst of everything. On the other hand, we also know statements of Chazal, which tell us, kina sofrim tar bechachma, that there's something called a healthy jealousy. What does that look like? It doesn't mean I go on Facebook, I see that 8 of my friends went out on Saturday night to Mozart, they didn't invite me, woe unto me, what's wrong with me in my marriage, in my social life, right? That's not what it's talking about when it says, kina sofrim tar bechachma. It means that I'm supposed to look at the guy who's working hard and yet still gets up early to learn and still makes minyan 3 times a day and still bakes the challahs and whatever. And I say, I want to be like that person. If they can do it, there's no reason I can't do it either. The Gemara itself already alludes to this, where the Gemara says that there are 3 people in history that were mechayev all of us to be better Jews. Mechayev, it means it obligated all of us to be better Jews. And the Gemara tells stories. It's a Gemara Nyoma. It's a beautiful Gemara. But it says, you think that you're too poor, and that the reason why you don't have time for learning is because you're so poor. Well, no one was poorer than Hillel. In Hillel, the famous story where he climbs up to the roof, they don't allow him into the Beis Medrash one day, and he says, just because I couldn't afford, you know, getting into the Beis Medrash doesn't mean I'm not going to learn, so he climbs up to the roof. It's almost like BRS, where we have that hot, you know, skylight. And he lies down. There's only one difference. What happens at the end of the story? It snows. Right, that ain't happening here. But it snows, and all of a sudden they look up one day, they say, why is it so dark? And they see that there's this person on the skylight who was buried in the snow, and so they go, and they got him, and they realize that they're never going to lock someone out of the Beis Medrash ever again. So the Gemara says, you think you're so poor that you didn't have time for learning? Hillel, no one was poorer than him, and he made time for learning. And then the Gemara says, you think that you're so good-looking that you're so overwhelmed with taiva from the desires of the world that that's what's taking you away from your learning? No one was more beautiful and no one had more taiva than Yosef. And yet we know that Yosef was able to withstand enormous tests. And so the Gemara says, don't make excuses. There are people in history that are mechayev, every single one of us. I said over this Gemara, actually, in a drasha, when Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel passed away, who was the former Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. Rav Nassim Tzvi Finkel obviously had enormous health challenges throughout his life. And yet he became the Rosh Yeshiva of the Mir Yeshiva. He, day and night, was learning. And so I quoted this Gemara and I said, any of us who think that we make excuses, we can't accomplish, we can't aspire, we can't achieve, we can't have, right? You just have to look at a person like this. There are certain people who are mechayiv us, they obligate us. Brian Galbert, in my mind, Alav HaShalom, was one of those people, right? You claim you're too busy, Brian was busy. You claim that you have too many children, you can't make time for everything, Brian was able to do that, right? Brian was mechayiv every single one of us to rob us of our excuses of becoming a better person and to achieve more and to aspire for more. So that's what the Metzudas David writes here. Askil chabaderech tamim. I'm going to pay attention to those who have reached the top of the mountain, to those who have achieved the status of tamim, and I'm going to say, Masai tavo elai, when can I be like that person? When am I going to have the opportunity to do just a little bit more and push myself a little bit further? Because I want to be like that guy. Not in a jealousy, in a negative way, but in a kina sofrim, tar bechachma, that I want to allow that to push myself a little bit more. What's bekera besi? In my house? So to me, this is an incredible two words. Metzudas David writes, Rotzolomer bat snei kamo befarhesia. Very simply, that I should walk in private the same way I walk in public. Right? What we would call, yeah.
Is it possible that he's talking about his own inner conflict? Chesed and Mishpat are antagonistic concepts. David, according to Gemara, when he would have to give judgment in favor of a rich man against the poor man, would then lend the poor man the money.
Right.
So here he goes, he's a champion of the oppressed, constantly looking out for guys, and he's casting the role, in his mind possibly, of Mishpat being the oppressor.
And so he's struggling with that.
He's looking for, Tumim is also trusting God. It's the simplicity of certainty. He's living in a world now where nothing is exact, lines up easy.
Right.
Everything has, on the one hand...
I love that. I think we'll tweak it. I didn't think of it that way, but I think you're onto something, and let's tweak it as we learn through the rest. Because the rest doesn't match up 100%, but I think if we combine that with, I think we'll have a really nice thesis at the end. So I love the way you're thinking. Okay. Yes, the answer is I didn't really fully develop the word tamim. Tamim definitely means a simplicity. And I agree with you wholeheartedly that there is something he's trying to simplify. Let's figure out exactly what that is and then apply it to what you said. Bekera besi, right? That what you project on the outside is what you also should be projecting on the inside. Now, the real test of a person isn't the way they walk in the street. We know the real test of a person is what are you like when the door is closed and the lights are off and there's no fanfare, no one's paying attention, no one's looking. So what type of a Jew are you then? That's why we always say that children and family are the greatest test of a person's character. Because very easy to be one person on the outside, but you have to make sure that you're that same person on the inside. The Malbim, I think, nails this pasuk. The Malbim says, Askila bederech tamim, geder hatmimus. What does the Malbim say? This word tmimus that we didn't really explain. Hushayase maise hatzedek, shelo ba'avor shum pnia chitzonit mitakut, mitmatkut, what, mitikut? What's that word? Yeah, mitkut schar v'yirat onesh, o ba'avor pnia acher. In other words, oftentimes we do things because we think we're going to get something for it, right? If I, put the chesed that I'm doing in the chesed WhatsApp group, then all my friends will think I'm such a grace about chesed, right? We think we're going to get something out of it. So he says, right, kamo lihit ka'ot, ulit pa'er, right? It's going to cause people are going to look at me. It's going to cause me a little bit of arrogance. He says that tmimus is that I'm doing something because it's the right thing to do, not for any ulterior motives. That's his first interpretation. So,
pure.
Well, that's what it is, right? Pure, a purity. Well, that's what he says in the next one. Ubederach harchava, he says, then I'm going to give you a second interpretation. Tami mi shenira b'chitzoni yuso, shemat mi betzedek ve'nomat mimenu shum pam. He says, what's tmimus? It's consistency. It's consistency, right? Ve'eno mat mimenu b'shum pam. Uvechol ze yuchol liyot she'eno tamim b'libo. Ki libo male p'niyos acheros v'tach li zarash bo. We'll have to find. So he gives two interpretations for what it means of askilcha b'derech tamim. And both of them are counterintuitive. So whereas Metzudas David says, tamim means that we have to be the same way in the privacy of our homes that we are in public, the Malbim interprets it differently. He says, we have to do things for the right reason, not because of any ulterior motive. Not because I think I'm going to get something in return. Not because I think it's going to enhance my social status. Not because I think this person's going to become better friends with me if I do or if I don't do that. None of that. Right? I'm just doing it for the pure reason. And number three, says the Malbim, is consistency. Right? Think about how we count. Svir Asa Omer. What do we say? What's the pasuk? Right? It's seven. The word is tamim there. Right? It's consistent weeks. There's a consistency to the counting, which is why missing tamimus, which is why missing one day is such a problem. So says the Malbim, that's the other interpretation of tamimus, is you're doing something consistently. Okay? You're doing something consistently. What I think, really, David HaMelech is talking about here is something else. Which is, he says, I'm going to look at those who are tamim. I'm going to say, when can I be like that? B'tam levavi b'kera b'si, in my house. What to me is the most obvious interpretation of this? If you want to change the world, where do you start? At home. Right? You don't worry about fixing other people. The first thing you do is worry about fixing yourself. And the reason why I think that that is the clearest interpretation, even though, honestly, none of the Mefarshim read it that way, is because of the rest of the pasuk, of the rest of the chapter of Tehillim that we're going to see. So I gave you four interpretations for what does Bekera Beisi mean? In my house, again, doesn't mean that I have to be the same way on the outside and on the inside. Doesn't mean consistency. Doesn't mean a purity of motives, because I'm not doing it for any ulterior motives, or Moskowitz's interpretation, which is that if you want to change the people around you, you start by changing yourself. Okay? You'll tell me at the end of the chapter which reads best. They're all four beautiful ideas, but which is going to read best into our chapter of Tehillim. Pasuk Gimel. Lo ashis leneged einai devar blial. I will not tolerate any basic negativity, evil to come before me. Aso seitim sanesi. Anyone who does the wrong thing, I'm going to hate. Lo yidbak bi. I want nothing to do with it. In other words, sur meira. I'm going to remove evil from before me. I want nothing to do with anything bad, with anything negative, with anything that's going to drain me, with anything that's going to be a negative influence on me. Correct. He's talking about his own surroundings, right? What he's essentially saying is I'm going to protect my house, right? In other words, I can't control the world around me. I can't control technology, but I can control what I allow into my house. And David HaMelech says, Lo ashis lenegede nai devar blilal. I'm not going to allow anything negative in front of me. Aso seitim sanesi. I'm going to despise anything that's going to be I'm not going to look at wickedness. I'm not going to be exposed to wickedness. I'm going to create a barrier between me and the negativity and that surrounds me. Okay, and I think that when I talked about how this is such a relatable Perakat Tehillim, it's these types of lines which he's now going to develop, which I find very relatable. Because that's the struggle of our generation. Right? The struggle of our generation is that there's the world out there, and I know there's been a lot of talk on social media about this. There was a rabbi in Teaneck that gave a drasha about this recently. But there's been a lot of talk about this. But needless to say, there's an enormous tension. And there always has been in history, but I think we're feeling it now. There's an enormous tension with what we and our children and our families are exposed to in the world around us and the type of kedusha, holiness, that we try to infuse within our houses. And how much do you allow in and how much do you protect yourself from it? Right, I mean, that's really the challenge of parenting nowadays, is you can't prevent technology. Even the communities that tried to do it are largely unsuccessful in trying to do it. So technology is ubiquitous. Kids are gaining access to it at younger and younger ages. I took my daughter this Sunday to a football game. I figured, why should my son always get the experience? Girls can like football also. So I took my daughter, and you know what? It's a challenging environment, right? I mean, what happens and what's said and what's seen at a football game, you know, even in something as innocuous as a football game, is challenging. So part of what any parent or grandparent and what our job as educators, and I include all of us in that conversation, right? We have to train people how to filter what they see with Jewish values and make sure that that's constantly being recalibrated and never becoming unhinged, right? So what David HaMelech is talking about is exactly that. He says, I'm going to figure out a way to create a protective barrier between me and evil, me and things that are going to rob me of that Kedusha. Levav Ikesh, Yasur Mimeni. What's Levav Ikesh? Well, Ikesh could be stubborn, right? Is that how it translates it here? Crooked, right? I think crooked is also, right? In other words, things that have deviated. Remember we talked about how we constantly have to recalibrate things that have deviated from the correct path. Yasur Mimeni. I want nothing to do with it. Ra Lo Eda. I don't want to know evil. What is Ra Lo Eda mean? So Metzudas David nails this. He says, Ish Ra Lo Yeh Miod I V'ohavai. I don't want to be friends with bad people. Right? People that we all know, they're people. There are people in our lives that radiate positivity. And it could be a smile, it could be an attitude, it could be mentality. And when we're around them, we feel better and we feel bigger and we feel, right, we just happier. And then there are people that you meet them and there's always that cynicism, there's always that sarcasm, they're always taking something down, they're always have a for Brent, right? And you just like, they suck the life out of you, right? So David HaMelech says, Ra Lo Eda, I don't want that. I don't need that. I got enough problems in my life. I don't need the people around me to be radiating that as well. All right? And David HaMelech is saying, it might mean that people won't want to be friends with me anymore. But that's okay. Right? That's okay, David HaMelech says. I forgot who said it. I'm looking for that, but I have it in my notes. But he says, one of the Mefarshim say that. Right? In other words, I might lose friends over this, David HaMelech says. But that's okay. Right, because la ra lo eda. I have to create that barrier around me. And it's going to mean I'm protecting myself from foreign influences coming into my house that are antithetical to my core values. And it also means, and this is going to be the rest of this perek, is I'm going to shield myself from bad people. And if you're a negative influence on me, you're simply not going to be considered amongst my inner circle. Don't forget, who's David HaMelech? He's a king. Right, what does everyone want? They want to be in the inner circle. Now, you and I both know, and this is going to be the next pasuk. You and I both know, what's the easiest way to ingratiate yourself to a person? I have that all the time, in I guess in my leadership role. No, I wish compliment, right? But no, but people who are insecure and people that have a proclivity for negativity, what's... They'll come, they'll whisper into your ear, and they'll say, Rabbi, you should really know what's being said or what's really going on or what this person's doing. Now they think they're doing you a favor, because what are they doing? They're your advisor. They're whispering something to you. My favorite, Rabbi Goldberg and I love this. There are people that come over to us, Rabbi, I want you to know, the entire Shabbos lunch, everyone was bashing you guys in the shul. But I want you to know that I didn't participate in that at all. So we get a kick out of that because we're like, you didn't have to say anything. You didn't have to tell me that. I'm good. My life would have gone on not knowing that, right? But like, they feel that if we, like, we're on the inner circle, we'll tell you what's really happening on the street, what people are really saying, right? David HaMelech is saying, that's not the way to be miyot'i ve'ohavai. If you want to be the people that are in my inner council, the people that I love, the people that I love hanging out with, it ain't going to be through negativity. It's not going to be by telling me what everyone is bragus about, right? The people, I mean, think about your own life. Who do you want to surround yourself with? You don't want to surround yourself with negative people. You want to surround yourself with aspirational people, with people that have vision, with people that are doing, with people that are productive, with people that... Right? That's who you want to be around. David HaMelech is no different. He's got everyone clamoring at his door. He's got everyone saying, I want to be on the inner circle. And David HaMelech saying, you know who I'm going to let in the inner circle? Not negative people, not people that are bad, not wicked people, not cynical people, not sarcastic people. I want positive people. He says it explicitly in Pasuk 5. Pasuk, hey, Milashni Baseser Re'ehu Oso Amtzis. Gva Amtzit. Atzmit, excuse me. Gva Einayim Urechav Levav Oso Lo Uchal. This is an awesome Pasuk. Milashani, what word do you notice immediately there?
Lashon.
Right, those who use language, Beseser Re'ehu. Beseser means what? Hidden, right? Rabbi, let me tell you what they said at my Shabbos table. Right? Let me tell you what, right? Right? Beseser, that which what they're saying in private, right? Who slanders his friend in secret, Oso Atzmit. What does Atzmit mean? I'm going to destroy. In other words, I want nothing to do with those people. Giva Einayim, those who are haughty, those who are arrogant, Urechav Levav, again, a form of arrogance. Oso Lo Uchal. Right? Radak says, Lo Uchal Ro'oso, O Lo Uchal Se'eso. Which means, I don't want to see them. It's very strong. Right? Lo Uchal Ro'oso, I can't even see that person. Or lo uchal seiso, seit, means to carry them. And as I can't carry their burden. Just because that person has a miserable life, just because that person is insecure and feels the need to take everyone else down, to build themselves up, David HaMelech says, oso lo uchal. Rashi says, shiyehe chaverai, I don't want that person as my friend. Why not? Shelo elamed mimasav. Mine doesn't come with vowels. Right? Shalo elmad mimasav. Why don't I want this person near me? Because I don't want them to influence me. I don't want to be like them. I don't want to learn from them. Where do we learn this in the Torah? Who gets punished with Korach? Who joins Korach's rebellion? Shevet Reuven. Right? And why? Rashi tells us there. It's a oy la Russia. Right? You are influenced by the people that surround you. Right? If your neighbors, if you live in a HOA where they're good to you, so it builds you up. If your neighbors, if the things that you're seeing, the influences are negative, so it tears you down. The Rambam says something astounding. The Rambam says, if you live in a community that's negatively influencing you, run away. And then the Rambam says, if you can't find a place that's going to positively influence you, go into the woods and live in solitude. That's what the Rambam says. What's the point of the Rambam? The Rambam is acknowledging just how influential your neighbors, your surroundings, your community can be to you. And that's exactly what Rashi's saying here. Right? Oto lo uchal. Shehi chaverai. I don't want those people as my friends. Shalo Elamed mimasav, because I don't want to learn from their nefarious ways. Right? We are not just, we don't just exist in a vacuum, but we are a product of our surroundings. We are a product of the people that we surround ourselves with. We are the product of who our friends are and who our neighbors are and who our community is. And that influences us. And it has an enormous opportunity to bring people up and to lift them up and to make them aspirational, searching for more and seeking for more. And it can also drag a person down. And so David HaMelech is saying, if you want to be welcomed into my inner circle, if you want to know the profile of a friend for me, it's a person who is not going to be a negative influence on me, but it's a person who's going to be a positive influence. And notice, what does David HaMelech point out? That, he says, is the most toxic quality, is that person who is slandering behind other people's back. Right? The person who always has the thing to say about the friend. the person, oh, did you hear what Sarah did? Did you hear what Johnny did? Did you hear what Chaim did? Did you hear what they're building on their house? Oh my, I didn't know he had so much money. I didn't know he drives such a car, right? David HaMelech says, I don't want that. None of that is helping me in any way. I need to surround myself with positive, upbeat, aspirational people. Okay? Pasuk Vav, Pasuk 6. Einai. So okay, he's told us who he doesn't want to be. Now he's looking for who he does want to be. Einai b'ne'emnei eretz la'shevet imadi. Holech b'derech tamim hu yisharseni. My eyes are towards who? Ne'emanei eretz. Those who are trustworthy. Who are you going to trust? The person who always, you know, talks about everyone else behind their backs? Or the person who you know that their word is their bond? That you know that when you tell them something, they are like a lockbox. Right? Someone called me the other day. I'll change this a little bit so no one can figure out. Someone called me the other day and said, Rabbi, how come you didn't give me a heads up about something? I said, well, the person told me something in confidence. They say, yeah, but why didn't you tell me so that I could have known about? I said, well, the same way you want me to be confidential in this conversation, that person entrusted me and wanted me to be confidential in that conversation. I said, I'm willing to bet that as annoyed as you are at me right now, you're more appreciative that your rabbi knows how to maintain confidentiality, right? I love it. My wife is a nurse practitioner at a local doctor's office. So oftentimes we'll be walking in the supermarket and we'll meet someone who is a patient of hers and is a congregant here. But my wife and I mean, we don't talk in general, but we certainly don't talk about this stuff. I'm saying we do talk. We love each other. We just, thank God, with four kids and busy jobs, it's like sometimes in the door, out the door type thing. But we definitely don't talk about this stuff. I mean, I would in a million years never know who her patients are. She doesn't know who I'm talking to. But every now and then, someone will say, oh, Ariel, it was so nice seeing you the other day. Thank you for your help. And they'll say, Rabbi, I assume you knew about that. I say, I don't know anything. I said, I would never know in a million years. She doesn't tell me. I don't tell her. We could be meeting with the same person, one at 10, one at 11, and she and I will never know about it. And I truly believe that's what people want. Right, so that's what David HaMelech is saying. Einai b'ne'emnei eretz la'shevet. I want to be with those who are trustworthy. Malbim says, Rotzalomer anashim ne'emanim. People who are trustworthy. Gam el ha'aretz ve'el ha'medina. In other words, David HaMelech obviously is talking as a king. He says, I want people who have allegiance to me. I want people that are waving kachol v'levan, who are waving red, white, and blue. I want people who bleed the colors of our country, who are going to have the best interests in our country in mind. Holech b'derech tamim, again, that tamim, the people who walk with that tamim, hu yisharseni, those are the people who are going to serve in my cabinet. So you want to know, David HaMelech, how to be welcomed into my inner sanctum, my inner sanctuary, my inner network of friends? It's to not be the backstabbing guy. It's not always be talking negatively. But if you're trustworthy, if you have integrity, those are the people that I want to surround myself with. Lo yeshev, Pasuk Zion. Lo yeshev, bekerev, besi. They will not sit in my house. Osei remia dover shkarim. Those who do, what's remia? Liars, deceitful. Dover shkarim, those who lie. Lo yikon leneged einai. I don't want those people near me. Again, you see that emphasis on bekera besi, right? You want to change the world? Where do you start?
Yourself.
You start by changing your house and protecting your house. La bekarim atzmit kol rishe aretz. La bekarim, Rashi says, every single day, mideyom biyom, like boker. La bekarim atzmit kol rishe aretz. I'm going to make it my life's business to get rid of, Rashi says, Rishay Yisrael, the wicked people amongst us, Lachrit Meir Adonai Kol Poalei Aven, and to get rid of anyone who is sinning against Hashem. Okay. What is this parak of Tehillim talking about, if you had to summarize it? So clearly, it's very autobiographical of David HaMelech, right? And I think here, Rav Hirsch nails it. I'm going to reread you what I said at the beginning, and you'll understand it now more. David HaMelech is speaking about himself, and he's giving us some insight into the character of his immediate environment. What is happening around David HaMelech? What is he struggling with? He's struggling with something that I think anyone in a leadership position struggles with, was who can I trust? Who do I want to surround myself with? Who is going to have a positive influence on me? Who is not going to have a positive influence on me? Rav Hirsch goes on to say, what is this Perikatilim dedicated to? Is one in which David HaMelech teaches us the manner in which he has striven to make himself capable and worthy of receiving inspiration. What made David HaMelech worthy of being David HaMelech is that he protected himself from negative influences, right? That's the formula that David HaMelech was striving for. Rav Hirsch continues, he seeks to attain it by keeping his own spirit turned solely toward that which is pure and morally perfect, right? What made David HaMelech worthy is that he protected himself. He made himself, right? Again, he worked on himself first of being pure and morally perfect by striving to walk in unsullied purity. Again, that word tamim over and over again. And by banishing from his environment everything unworthy or morally base and evil. It's about recognizing and being intellectually honest about what influences are upon us and whether or not we should let them in or let them out. This is, in a nutshell, the story of Hanukkah. Right? The story of Hanukkah, which obviously we'll talk about more as we get into the month of Kislev. But the story of Hanukkah is, if nothing else, a story of our interaction with cultures around us. How much do we allow it in and how much do we protect ourselves from it? Hanukkah and Torah thought what the threat was not a physical threat, it was a spiritual threat. Right? And that's why, according to the halacha, where do we put the menorah?
In the public. I mean, they have to see it.
So, well, the mezuzah is on what side of the door?
Right.
On the right side. The menorah goes on the left side. Right? Very beautiful idea. Why? Why is one on the right, one on the left? The answer is the mezuzah is on the right-hand side. That as I go from my house to the outside, I kiss the mezuzah, I remind myself what? Of Hashem, right? Of Hashem's principles, of Torah. The menorah is on the left-hand side, which means that as I come from the outside into the inside, what's going to be on my right? The menorah. The menorah. Which means, what is the menorah? What is the purpose, the role? Wait, do I have my sides wrong? I'm flipped. Correct, I'm sorry. When I go to the outside, the menorah is, I got it backwards. The menorah, the idea is still the same. When I go from my house into the outside, knows when I'm about to interact with other cultures and other societies and other influences, so what's to protect me? It's the menorah, right? That's the holiday of Hanukkah, is that struggle, that tension that every single one of us feels between living in a westernized society and being a Jew. That's why, what parshios do we read about Hanukkah every single year? What personality in Tanakh? Yosef. Right? Yosef is the person of Hanukkah. Why? Who struggled with him more than Yosef? Right? In many regards, Yosef becomes Egyptianized. He maintains an Egyptian name. He looks like an Egyptian. Remember, his brothers don't recognize him. He becomes so, what we'll call westernized. On the other hand, what do we know about Yosef HaTzadik? That Shem Shamayim Shagur Befiv, he was always talking about Hashem. He never lost that connection to his Torah and his Judaism. That tension that Yosef HaTzadik battled with is the tension of the holiday of Hanukkah, and that's the tension that David HaMelech is speaking about here. Right? Again, listen to his words again. Right? He wants to preserve that which is pure and morally perfect by banishing from his environment everything unworthy and morally base and evil. That's the tension that you and I feel of Hanukkah. What do we allow in our house? What are we exposed to when we go outside of the house? All of that. Rav Hirsch continues in a little bit later on. He says something beautiful. This again about those who have a negative influence on him. He says the following. They do not know that he who wishes to exert any influence in behalf of the moral betterment of other men will be much more certain to attain this end if he will deal with them not in accordance with what they actually are, but instead in keeping with what they should be. Right, what a beautiful line. I'm going to reread it again. Right? To deal, right? Again, you want to lead people. You want to exert influence on people. You want to be David HaMelech, says Rav Hirsch. You'll deal with people not in accordance with what they actually are, but in keeping with what they should be, what we are capable of. David will not tolerate any slander of another form, from those compromising his retinue. In other words, David HaMelech says, I'm not going to look at you for who you are, but I'm looking at you in what you should be, and what we should be, and what we should aspire to be. And so even though David HaMelech says, I live in a society, I live in an environment which is counter to many of the Jewish values that I aspire for, David HaMelech says, it doesn't bother me, because it's not about what we are, but it's about what we should be. And so David HaMelech is recalibrating the environment around him. Everyone else is moving one way. David HaMelech says, come back. Right? Let's remember what this is all about. This Perek HaTehillim is about a lot of things. I found it very relatable. I think it's about who we choose as our friends, who we choose to exert influence on our lives. It's doing a cheshbon hanefesh. It's evaluating our, again, obviously we all live in BRS and I think it's a wonderful place, but it's about the people in the institutions, in the environment that we allow to exert that influence on us. It's about recognizing that tension, about letting stuff in, but also protecting ourselves. And I think ultimately it's about the people that we surround ourselves with. It's who do we consider our friends? Who do we consider the people that we spend our times with? Is it people that are going to bring us up, or is it people that are going to tear us down? Is it people that are, remember we learned last week, Ish Lafi Mahalalo, that a person is judged by what they praised. And if you remember that beautiful insight from Rav Huttner, that the way someone uses their speech says everything about them. If the person uses it to build other people up, that's the type of person I want to be around. On the other hand, a cynic, a late, someone who's always has that word, that comment, that cynical, that sarcasm, he says that can tear a person in a culture down. Certainly in our day and age, I think this Perek HaTehillim is enormously relatable. As we watch news and as we watch leadership in our country that I think we all struggle with, as Rabbi Goldberg spoke about on Shabbos and wrote about in his blog this week, I think this is what we're struggling with. We're struggling with the types of people that we want to be our leaders and the types of people that we want to be our role models and who we want our children aspiring to become and grandchildren to be aspiring to become, who are their heroes, right? I think that's all what David HaMelech is alluding to in this Perek HaTehillim. Everyone have a wonderful week.